Meeting Mary. It is 4 months ago now that I visited the Isle of Canna for the first time. I travelled there along with wildlife sound recordist Jeff Sample and arts producer Susie Glass in order to see how it might be possible to develop the Away with the Birds project for and with the island. Whilst there, we glimpsed into pockets of island life, its history, people, landscape, weather, and wildlife. Our stay was brief, only 5 days, but our encounters were meaningful, and we began to foster connections that have led to our returning there again. Today, there are 7 of us travelling. Some of us know each other very well, whilst others have never met before. This newly formed team is visibly bubbling with excitement, and we chatter across the mountains of food and luggage whilst we wait to board the boat at Malaig. The morning drizzle clings to the September air, and I look over at Mary, who is perching rather uncomfortably on the edge of a concrete bollard, propping herself up with a walking stick. Mary Smith is a revered traditional Gaelic singer from Lewis, and I'm quietly in awe of her. Yesterday we met for the first time, and I want to say hello. I sit down next to her, holding my small black umbrella over the pair of us. We have to sit close to one another in order for us both to benefit from its shelter. And, as we huddle together, my feelings of admiration get mixed with a concern that my sitting so close may, in fact, be intruding on her personal space. And for a moment I hesitate, almost unable to speak. But I persevere because what I want to do is keep us both dry and to talk. We chit-chat shyly at first, skimming the edges of each other's stories, until the conversation at last reaches the subject of songs. At this point, all self-consciousness rapidly dissolves, and the real, deep task of sharing and exchange begins. I have so many questions. Mary, where do you think vocables come from? These wordless elements of Gaelic songs have long fascinated me. They appear to be meaningless, but they're so central to the musical structure of the songs that I'm keen to know what their origin might be. Are they maybe words that have lost their meaning? Mary explains to me that there are varying opinions. Some people say vocables have never had any meaning, that they are simply nonsense diddlings. Others say that they are related to pibroch and piping. In her opinion, these vocables did once have linguistic or even magical meaning, but they have been lost and forgotten over time. For a couple of years, I've been researching traditional Gaelic songs and rhymes that emulate the sounds of birds. The vocables in these songs are usually the element that imitates, to a lesser or greater extent, the calls or songs of a particular species. I ask Mary, could it be that the vocables in other songs have similar origins? Could vocables be imitations of the sounds around us? Perhaps, she says, there are songs about the sea where the vocables sound like waves, a little bit like the waves in fishermen's jumpers. She explains that she's been investigating traditional knitting patterns from Uist that have emigrated along with settlers to faraway places such as New Zealand and Cape Breton. These patterns contain hidden messages. When a fisherman drowned, people would know where he was from by the unique configuration of different symbols, such as the tree of life and waves of the sea. She smiles. It's almost like vocables are hidden messages too. This talk of pattern reminds me of my composition. At the heart of Away with the Birds is a piece of vocal music, which I'm slowly composing by weaving together clusters of short motifs, fragments of songs and rhymes. I've not been using conventional music notation, but instead, I write down the words, short phrases and vocables into a kind of timeline grid. When I showed these scores to the textile artist Deirdre Nelson, she pointed out that visually on paper, they bear a slight resemblance to patterns for weaving or knitting. Deirdre, who will be creating costumes for a performance of the piece, suggested that perhaps we could translate the scores into knitting patterns as a starting point. Or you could make a weave, says Mary. Of course then, she continues, you have the walking songs. Walking the tweed is the technique of finishing the newly woven fabric by soaking and then pounding it rhythmically to shrink and soften it. This work was carried out by groups of women, and the songs they sang served to keep the rhythm and lighten the work. One person would sing the verses and others join in on the choruses, which are usually made up from vocables. Mary explains how these songs have become simplified. When people perform them now, she says, they often get stuck in one rhythm. Really, the songs were sung to support the work, and that goes through many stages, beginning slowly and speeding up as the cloth dried. I'm reminded of something Anne Martin on Sky said to me about spinning songs. She talked about the way in which we are forgetting how to sing these songs, because when we perform them now, we sing them without the action, without the spinning wheel. Yes, says Mary, and it's like the way we perform Gaelic psalm singing to an audience. It just doesn't have the same feeling, because it's not part of a service and there's no presenter speaking before each psalm. You see, the spoken word moves the singer before they begin to sing. It is emotional, but when there is no purpose, the feeling gets lost. Our conversation is momentarily cut short as we board the ferry that has arrived in the harbour. I stand on the deck, reflecting on my conversation with Mary, and watch as the mainland moves further and further away.